Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geeksone.com.
Happy birthday to us.
We just totally botched our own
intro. Happy birthday to us. Happy birthday, dear Geeks On. Happy birthday to us.
I call Mulligan.
And many more.
So I totally call Mulligan.
That was perfect. What are you talking about? So it has been a year since we have been on air or on net or on blogosphere.
1 year anniversary.
Wait, wait. It's been a whole year since we were on last?
Yes.
That's what it feels like to some of our listeners.
No. It's been a year since we started.
Since we started. It was my birthday party last year when I said, this would be a good idea.
What is
and we
this
talked
thing
about
called
it.
Podcasting?
Exactly. And we were like number 400 and something podcast when we started. Now we're like 1 millionth down
nice.
On the line. So anyway, yeah.
Are we asking for a birthday present from our listeners?
I'm going to ask for a birthday present at the end of the show.
Excellent.
From our listening squad.
Listeners.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
So how was your guys' geek week? Do you anything geeky?
Actually, this was a pretty light geek week for me. I played a little World of Warcraft and...
You guys really need to move on there. You're missing a lot of great video games out there.
You know,
it's really sad.
This is the danger of the MMORPG. You're constantly trying to keep up with the Joneses.
It's never over.
You know?
No, it's never, ever over.
If I try to stop playing for a little while, there's always someone going like, yo, where's my freaking healer? You know?
And on top of that, getting to level 60 isn't enough. Once you get to level 60, now you've got to go get all the great armor. So.
Yeah, but it only if you want to keep doing that.
It's never over.
Dress up your doll.
I mean,
yeah, but Aaron, you didn't want to keep doing it at level 3, so, you know.
Well, yeah, it was like, you know, I got new armor.
Aaron figured out the game at level 3 and went, I didn't need this.
I have to admit, with the expansion of, I don't know if it's true or not, but I hear the Alliance is getting giant pandas on their side, and I just want to play a giant panda.
See that?
Han, you are a giant panda.
See, that's ridiculous. I mean, can you imagine another game coming out and saying that the big addition that's going to get you to play is giant pandas? I mean...
Oh, come on.
New
races.
You don't understand.
New races, new stuff.
New races, new areas.
The old games, the original Warcraft games had the pandas in it. So it's
did they really?
But
yeah, I don't
look at
that.
This.
Yeah, they were like
If I said, hey, guess what? You know, it took 3 years for Ghost Recon 4 to come out, and it's adding a one character class and some pandas. You would go, are you out of your freaking mind?
But Ghost Recon isn't making a world.
If Ghost Recon let you play pandas, I might play. I state that right out.
Well, anyone knows that if they add pandas to the game, they'll get one more player.
This is true.
And it's Dawn.
I will play anything with a panda in it.
Aaron and I played Splinter Cell. Now in co-op and stuff like that.
Versus on...
And we've been fumbling our way through being spies and mercenaries.
I would say that was probably the hardest co-op... I mean, the hardest versus online versus game I've ever played.
Really?
I mean, it is hard.
Yeah.
The maps are hard. Oh, it's a blast. It's a total blast.
It is so much fun.
But sometimes you're frustrated to hell because you're like, I don't even know where I am. These maps are hard.
Yeah.
And another geek thing we did is we finally played Runebound, all of us.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. Oh, that was a blast. That was a lot of fun.
And that was fun.
Runebound is, for the people who don't know what it is.
Yeah, Runebound is kind of a descendant of Talisman,
great classic board game.
Yeah, RPG-ish board game.
Our relative virgin board gamer, Peter, sat down to play it, looked at the board, and went, oh. And about 6 minutes in, this unholy light just began to gleam in the back
it was
of his
like
eyes.
Purple and glowing.
You saw that too?
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
But not as fun as Talisman. You know?
Not really.
I actually enjoyed it.
I
would like more characters. I'd
Peter
like, you know.
I played it until the game rotted into the ground.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're kind of that way on all games. Once you start a game, you gotta, you know,
I like finish to finish it. Everything. I'm very obsessive about that. That's why Warcraft is difficult for
That's
me.
Probably the worst. Yeah. Then it's probably your worst game because it will never end. I mean, do you foresee you ever, like, are you even close to feeling like you're almost done?
Yeah, I'm on page. I'm on level 46. That's good. That's going to be good.
But is 60 done for you? Or is
it for me? 60 will probably actually be done for me.
60 was an ending point for me. I quit the game for about 2 months when I hit level 60, and I mean literally, I hit level 60 and it went okay, done, logged off, didn't feel tempted to go back until people at work started nagging me.
So. Oh, all right. Well, how about some geek news?
Oh, by the way, not news item, but. I rejoined the chess club.
The high school chess club?
No, the internet chess club, which is worse.
Is that a geek thing or a nerd thing?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm in a future episode. I'm going to bring up the newest, craziest, geeky, nerdy sport I found online. I'm not going to talk about it right now, but I was shocked.
That's a hell of a teaser.
I was shocked. Go. I'm going to go to a tournament is what I'm going to do.
And then you're going to come and bring it.
And then I'm going to bring it.
Okay.
I'd like to start with two Xbox 360s articles. The first one, Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter, which is the one that everybody who owns a 360 right now is waiting for. It should be released at the end of this month or the beginning of next month. But... the developers have announced that they are going to release a demo that you can download on the Xbox Live Arcade. So, like Fight Night, like Quake 4 and some of the other demos that you could play, you can download this probably very soon and start playing before the game is released. So, I cannot wait because it looks like a killer game. That's... Peter, you and I are going to be playing the hell out of this game.
Okay. Is this the Fight Night one that we played the demo for?
No, I'm talking about Ghost Recon. Ghost Recon.
Blah, Ghost Recon, blah.
Matt doesn't like tactical shooters.
I hate that game.
God.
He doesn't like anything realistic. He likes to be able to run in guns blazing and have 43 million bullets hit him and go, ha, I scoff at your bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah, or at least get creased, not like, dead.
Matt just gets shot, and he doesn't like get shot.
Yeah.
And then the other 360...
I'm bad at them, too, if it makes you feel any better.
Not even about... Yeah, it's about being bad at them.
Yeah.
deny this.
The other 360 news I have is for Mac owners out there, a company, the people who made the PSPware, a little program that helps you sync your PSP and put media on there, they made a program called Kinect 360. And this simulates kind of the Microsoft's version of their Microsoft Media Kinect stuff. Okay. So what it does is it runs a little mini server on your Mac and allows you to stream your photos and your iTunes into your Xbox 360, so you don't have to now hook all this stuff up. Streams it right over the network, so you can now listen to your custom playlists on your Xbox 360.
Is this legal?
Yeah, it's totally legal. And here's part of the problem is it, even though it does allow you to stream the AAC files that Macintosh like their format that they like to use, it does not allow you to stream the rights protected AAC files from iTunes. So any music you bought from iTunes will not stream to the Xbox 360.
That sucks.
It does suck. Anything you ripped from CDs and that type of stuff, you can play.
One of these days I'm going to have to take my entire iTunes library, record it onto a bunch of CDs, and then re-record it back in my...
Yeah, I've done that a couple times.
Really?
Just to get MP3s. It sucks. It does suck. But, you know, whatever. So we'll put a link on how you can download that. It is a $10 registration fee, but it was totally worth it. Now I can stream all my music while I'm playing Geometry Wars.
Excellent. Hit it, Peter. Chewy. Peter.
So a New York team confirms that UCLA experiment that created tabletop fusion.
You did not mention that in your news stories because that's one of my news stories.
Oh.
You liar. Well, continue on.
You do it then. I'll do it later.
You go ahead.
No, no, really, you.
Stealer.
No, no, please, you.
New
no.
Stealer.
No,
I got like
no, no.
Nine. You finish. I got like nine things here. You go.
Well, that's really the big headline. These guys have developed a tabletop accelerator. Essentially what it is, they take two crystals and they get a magnetic
fusion field
force
what?
Between them, and they're sending electrons back and forth. Anyway, they're making kind of a mini electron accelerator.
See, but didn't you say like weeks ago that somebody had created cold fusion or something like that? And then
yeah, no, this is the same thing that they did weeks ago, but now it's just an evolution of the last one.
Okay.
UCLA did this weeks ago.
Right.
These guys changed it by adding two crystals that really ups the power.
Right. Now,
to what? A Duracell or what?
It says, our step does not require cooling the crystals to cryogenic temperatures, which is also another problem the other guys had. They had to cool the crystals down. This allows them to do it just straight up.
We're making lightsabers, baby.
Well, I'm wondering if they're lithium crystals. Because then there are two of them.
Dilithium crystals.
Well, actually, someone pointed this out. They said this apparatus is very similar to the designs for the warp core in Star Trek. So
no way, that'd be rocking.
Well, here's a problem I have though.
I'm sorry, I just have to interject this. I can't help wondering. Like, okay, there's the warp core. We've all seen the warp core. We know how the warp core is supposed to work. Well, some of us do. You know, so everyone's been working in that direction to make the warp core work.
Right.
What if there's like a really elementary, incredibly easy way that looks nothing like the warp core, but we've all been working towards the warp core for the past 30 years?
Nobody's just working toward the warp core. Trust me. No one's going to. We have to figure out the Star Trek thing.
I'm just saying,
nerds are, geeks are, but the hardcore guys, they've got all sorts of stuff going on.
Okay.
Trust me.
Okay.
They're not all Star Trek fans. Some of them are hyper light fans. They're Star Wars fans,
really,
not Star Trek fans.
Amusing to me if that was the case.
Yeah. My problem with this is that they don't seem to be using this to extract energy from it. Right now, their applications are detecting explosives in luggage at airports.
Well, actually, you know what? That's a good way to get funding.
Well, you're actually unlimited energy in everybody's homes and getting out of the shadow of the Middle East is
You're right. George Bush cares about that. You're right. Yeah, that's a good. Right. That's
oil
a good way for.
Would never block.
That's
that.
A good way for George Bush to give you funding.
I think the point was that it's just not advanced enough to provide energy.
I guess
it can provide portable energy on a smaller level, but they haven't gotten it up to the bigger level.
I want my lightsaber and flying car. Damn it!
Yeah, it's sort of like remember that news story we reported on a couple months back about. You know, they've invented lightsabers, and what are they using them for? Cleaning teeth.
Right.
You know?
We must go back.
Because the lightsaber is, you know, 1 centimeter long at this point.
Exactly.
You know?
Marty! Okay. Marty! All right. We must go back to the future!
All right. Anyway.
Wait. So that was my fake-out news story. Here's my real news story.
I see. He's a stealer and a...
You're a stealer and a hog.
I am a hog. No, he's done three news stories. Now, why am I the hog?
Go, Peter.
Go, Peter.
I brought in a news story about porn. Let's get to me. Come on.
Okay. Go, Gadget Peter. So they did a study with rats, and what they've discovered is that the times when the rats would stop moving, when it would sort of just kind of sit there and groom itself, that actually there was something going on with the brain that was very interesting. When the rat had been moving through a maze, they could track the neurons in the path of the neurons through the rat's brain.
Are these like daydreaming rats or something?
When the rats would stop and daydream, the neurons would fire through that path, but backwards extremely quickly.
So they're remembering?
So it's actually maybe a process to help you learn what you're learning. That when you're
so
stopping
if you lick your balls after doing something...
You do a new skill and you... Well, they've known for a long time that when you study and you do a new skill, if you take quick breaks in between... that you'll learn a lot faster than if you just keep cramming and cramming and cramming.
Okay? So this is something the mice have figured out, but college students haven't figured out yet.
Well, it's a natural thing that people do. People take breaks.
Yeah,
this is
college
why...
students haven't figured out how to take quick breaks between every study session.
Right. So
one begs to differ, one does.
No, you just cram the night before for 6 hours until you walk into the test.
That's
is what
true.
You do.
That's true.
So...
But
people
I took multiple breaks while doing that.
Yes, exactly. People have known for a long time, or they've known for a long time, that when you sleep, these you know whatever you've learned throughout the day will be repeated several times. You know, it'll happen in the same order that you learned it. Hmm. What's interesting here is that it's happening backwards and very quickly.
Huh. Interesting.
Thought it was interesting.
Moving on. Dick Cheney is a geek. He is. I guarantee it. Same thing as the guy who knocked over the vases. This time, Dick Cheney was going, hey, look at those birds over there. Bang. And Henry Whittington, 78, was alert and doing fine after Cheney sprayed Whittington with shotgun pellets on Saturday at the Armstrong Ranch in South Texas.
Right.
Yeah. The vice president's office did not disclose the accident until nearly 24 hours after it happened.
How is this a geek story?
Well, it's because he's a geek.
But that insists on not bringing geek story.
Actually,
adding the word geek into the title somehow makes it a geek story.
Damn straight.
I don't think it's a geek story, but I pulled it too because it's human interest. It's really
freaking funny. I'll give you that much.
Well, so, we'll put that on the human interest on radio podcast.
No.
If it's on a geek website that I'm looking at, like geeks.com or something like that, it's a geek news story.
Oh. All right.
Listen, and okay.
That's what I claim.
There's a piece to that. There's two pieces to that we haven't mentioned. Yeah. One is that the guy that was coming up behind him didn't use the proper hunting etiquette. You're supposed to tell someone you're walking up behind them when they're hunting. So if they turn,
would imagine
something.
And he went quack quack.
They're hunting quail.
Well, if someone's behind you when you hunt quail. You track it as you go along and then fire. Well, if someone's walking up beside you and you didn't know they were coming, then they've just walked into your, you know, bam, you shoot. They're right there.
Remember that last night in Chaos Theory where you launched the grenade into the back of my head,
oh, yeah.
A team member, and took me out? Essentially, you chainied me.
Yeah, I did. Last night, Aaron and I are playing, and I go, Aaron, they're over here. And he runs in, and I go, he goes, where? Right as I fire a grenade, bounces off of his back, kills us both. Yeah. So I chainied you. Yeah. There are, however, the geeks did comment on this. The important questions raised by the hunting accident are, one, are lawyers in season now? Two, was the lawyer at least a 4-point? No. Three, was Cheney within his permit limit? No. Four, was the Cheney aide misquoted about the lawyer's hunting suit having a Target on the back or that he'd bought it at Target a while back?
What?
Five, will Disney adapt this into a cartoon about a baby lawyer having to adjust to living in the wild without his parent?
That's cute.
Okay. Or six, is this what you should expect if you don't contribute enough to a political reelection fund in the future?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
There we go.
Now, you mentioned, Don, that he actually didn't even have the right permit when he was out there.
Yeah, he was hunting without a license when this happened.
Oh, silly.
He had a license,
Cheney.
But it was the wrong type of license.
So what does that mean?
Silly Cheney. Kicks
it
for
probably
trids.
A fine if he wasn't vice president.
Yeah, it's like, you know, who cares?
He's vice president. He's the head of the Illuminati. Come on.
Don. Let's get to our porn.
All right.
We want our porn!
I have an excellent porn story, which I'll leave for the next time it comes around to me.
Oh, you bastard.
Psych.
After these messages.
Well, I have two news stories, and the second news story I have is the secret cause of flame wars. In brief, basically what the study discovered is that there is no legitimate pattern to people discerning the tone of an email. It's literally chance level that they'll get
the
tone.
Is this that, like, two out of one or one out of two people get the tone wrong thing that I've been – I heard a couple blogs about
it
today.
Yeah, well, this one's actual scientific proof
that
everyone who writes an email, on average, 80% of them think that everyone will be able to understand the tone of their email. The truth is only 50% of people can understand the tone.
Well – I think that they were using specific examples, like where people were trying to write something that could be read as straight or sarcastic.
That was the original test, but then they went on to open it up to other areas.
Because I don't think that everyone's misunderstanding 50% of emails that they read. I think that it's...
No, but I have written emails that are very sarcastic and stuff like that, and I've gone back and I've reread them just to spell check them, and I go... Ooh, somebody could take that completely the wrong
way. That's what I'm saying.
And so I just keep on adding in just kidding, smiley face, just kidding, smiley face, just kidding.
Well, remember the last letter we read and we kind of made fun of making kind of an accusatory?
Yeah.
And then the guy said, well, I didn't mean it to be accusatory. I'm like, well, we kind of knew that, but we changed. I mean, we read it that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. But long story short. Most emails do not have a tone. Most emails are transferring information.
Right, exactly. Okay.
But basically what they're saying is even with your loved ones, there's still a 50% chance they're not going to understand the tone that you intended it to have.
So emails are tone deaf.
Clothes off and oil. Okay, anyway.
See, when you sent that to me, I took it totally differently.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I thought he meant in a platonic sort of way, but now I feel dirty.
I didn't know it was in a brokeback sort of way.
Okay, I have some breaking news, which I can't confirm. It's only been on two websites. And
breaking geek news.
Yeah, this happened today, but Phil Brown, best known for his role as Uncle Owen in Star Wars, died today.
Oh.
Now, I've only found this on two websites, and I'm trying to get fine confirmation, but...
It's okay. They have plenty of footage on him. George can CGI him in at least three more films.
That's true. So, yeah. Uncle Owen.
Wow. I'm going to hell.
We hardly knew you. And that's it for me.
But I was going to Tashi Station to pick up some power converters. Sorry.
So this one is Mind Controlled by Parasites. And it's a new study where there's this thing called Toxoplasma gondii.
Okay. Toxoplasma gondii?
Yeah. Toxoplasma gondii. It's a common parasite found in the guts of cats. Okay. Most of the time, they get it from rats.
Toxoplasma gondii.
Is this
in my
the
cat
same
stomach?
Parasite that's in like wolves and dogs? Like if you breathe it in, you actually go mad.
I don't think so. I'm not
okay.
sure. But basically, what they did a study and they found that healthy rats. That do not have this in them will prudently avoid areas that have been doused with cat urine. Okay, rats that have this actually seem to be attracted to areas with cat urine. Why? Because it helps them get into other animals by being eaten.
Toxoplasma gondii.
Yeah. So the question is, if parasites can alter rat behavior, does it have an effect on humans? Okay.
Well, it can drive you mad, obviously. Aaron's heard.
Well, and this is something different.
Well, this is where it gets interesting because toxoplasma is associated with damage to the brain in areas that schizophrenia is also associated with damage to the same areas.
Interesting. Okay?
Pregnant women with high levels of antibodies to toxoplasma are more likely to give birth to children who have schizophrenia. Okay. Human cells that are raised in petri dishes infected with toxoplasma respond to drugs that are also used as antipsychotics to treat schizophrenia.
Weird.
So stop playing in cat urine is what you're saying.
Yeah. No more cleaning up the cat pee for the girls.
You see rats running in the cat urine area? Don't eat them. Bad idea. Don't play with them.
The urine or the rats?
No, just the rats.
The urine's fine. Rats, you got to stay away from.
The urine, you can get a baster. And... A baster.
Oh.
Yeah.
Baster. Oh, boy. All right, then. Yeah, so it's just interesting that this is kind of to follow up on last week when we talked about the spider that that controlled the roach.
There's all sorts of brain...
These things in my brain! Stop them!
It's like Chekhov.
It's kind of creepy.
It is kind of creepy, actually.
All right, so there has been an Aussie tourist who was charged with assault for shushing a Texas movie phone talker.
Oh, I heard about this.
He shot him?
No. Shushed.
Okay.
Like, shh, please be quiet.
And he got arrested?
Yeah. A former Australian city councillor has been charged with assault for shushing a woman who wouldn't stop talking on her phone during a screening of Brokeback Mountain. Pauline Clayton was on holidays in Texas catching the movie at a Texas cinema when the woman's phone rang. After she ignored a shushing gesture, Clayton touched her lightly on the shoulder. After Clayton touched her a second time, the woman went berserk, screamed obscenities, and got two cops and swore out an assault complaint.
She's lucky she didn't get her ass fucking beat because that whole movie theater should have busted her ass. I hate those little bitches.
People.
Yep.
Oh, people.
God.
Fellow human beings.
Yes. She said the police took her to the food bar. I don't know why. And explained that the woman had accused Ms. Clayton of invading her private space. Yeah. The woman had made a complaint of assault because Ms. Clayton had touched her. They were very apologetic, Ms. Clayton said. They were very uncomfortable, the police. Ms. Clayton said the officer had tried to dissuade the woman from making a complaint and even told the woman that if she did make the complaint, police would charge the woman with disorderly conduct and using a profanity for her outburst in the cinema. The woman refused to back down, and not only was Ms. Clayton charged, but the woman is now also due in court after being charged over her behavior.
Good.
Just get a cease.
Do not touch a woman at all. Don't do it in the office. Don't do it anywhere. Your ass is grass. All you need is some nut job out there, and she will get you. They will get you.
I take a completely different message from this. My message is if someone makes noise like that,
mm-hmm.
fucking deck him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Cold cock the motherfucker and run. Okay? If you're going to get sued for something, get sued for something that you did, goddamn.
Yeah. But turn around and make her, you know, women don't want to, you know, be seen as, you know.
Nice.
I actually just turn around and start screaming at them.
Yeah.
Just.
Just say. Just turn around and call her a complete whore and turn off her goddamn phone.
Oh, my God.
She is. It's total bullshit. This woman did it in the theater next to me. Her phone rang. And she answered it. She answered the effing phone. And I turned around and said, take that goddamn thing out of the theater. And she looked at me like, I'm the bad guy. And she gets up and leaves, luckily, because I would have... I would have screamed at that theater.
With movie prices as they are now.
Yeah, I'm paying 14 bucks.
You will leave the theater.
She better have been a surgeon.
Did
like,
any
of you
see Scary Movie 1?
You guys are frightening me.
I did not like this movie, but my favorite scene from that movie is this woman's watching a movie in a crowded movie theater, and the guy in the scream mask is out to kill her, and he's moving down the row with a knife out looking at her, and her phone rings. She pulls it out and she starts talking, right? Blah, 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 blah. A guy leans over, excuse me, can you be quiet? Oh, hell no. You did just not just tell me to be quiet. She goes back to her phone. Someone else leans over, excuse me, please, shut up. Oh, hell no. She just keeps talking on the phone. The killer's getting closer and closer. And then a guy three rows back just leans over and stabs her in the neck. And then everyone else in the theater just starts stabbing her. I loved that.
I've
wanted to do that.
I think most of the Geeks On listeners right now, start a forum. If you believe that this bitch should go, say vote on the forum.
We'll put up the poll.
We'll put up the poll.
Bitch should go.
Yeah.
Or bitch should stay. All right.
If you don't turn off that cell phone, I'm going to shove it up your ass. You're going to have to talk to your cell phone to continue the conversation.
I like how the geeks are talking shit and they're nowhere near this woman.
Yeah.
Crazy psychotic woman.
The only ones that I think twice about complaining to are the packs of teenagers who are doing it.
Well, here in L.A., you get yourself shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
easily.
Yeah. So, okay. We beat that one to death. I'm done. It's fine.
Porn, Donnie. Porn.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently the Bush administration has pulled out a whole new weapon in its fight against legitimate pornography. Bureaucracy. The adult entertainment industry is embroiled in a legal battle with the federal government over new regulations that many online purveyors fear could put them out of business. At issue are rules established last year requiring any website carrying sexually explicit videos or photographs to maintain records proving that the performers are at least 18 years old. The rules apply whether the website owner produced the content or merely republished it.
Right.
And they were made retroactive, so site operators must maintain records for all content filmed or photographed in the past 10 years.
Okay, so you've got it.
First-time violators face prison sentences of up to 5 years.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Okay. Now, one, let me state outright. I support having to prove
that you're
the
18,
performers
yeah.
are 18 years old.
Absolutely. Right.
However, according to the news article, the burden of proof is ridiculous to the extreme. And whether or not you publish it, you have to track down the proof, even if the person you bought it for is a second-time purveyor.
I have a feeling I think this might start new businesses. Like, for example, I could start a collection where I make sure that I maintain where all the photos are and the paperwork from each photo, so websites mm-hmm. can just... link, you know, pull, you know, I can just carry the paperwork for them.
But it does, I mean, that's indirectly doesn't matter because all it's going to do is increase the prices of porn, you know?
And it's free just, on the internet anyway.
All of it is still just a barrage to try and kill the porn industry.
Yeah, it won't work.
Which is not necessarily the most savory industry in the world, but you know what? It's in demand, so.
There's nothing they can do to kill it.
Ever. It's all just going to move overseas.
Yeah, they can.
People will still.
Well, that's what they're saying is that one, it's going to drive a very lucrative industry overseas and get rid of its tax base for mm-hmm. us. And two, they're basically saying that you know a lot of it is unenforceable, and it's currently they're not trying to apply it to websites. This is apparently to other mediums.
Oh, so okay. That's easy. Well,
but then, yeah. It will be switching over to websites in the future. Yeah. There's already a coalition of web entrepreneurs trying to prevent this from happening.
I have a feeling there's probably more money in porn, and their lawyers have a bigger arsenal than the government could probably imagine. It's like L.A. They keep trying to shut down, you know, strip clubs here and make it like, you know, all these lap dances illegal. And it lasts for about 3 weeks. And when the lawyers come out, it's gone. Yeah. They can't. I mean, there's too much money behind it. So good luck.
All right.
Good luck, Gonzalez.
Anybody else?
I got a quick little one, which is just Microsoft has an anti-spyware program that's in beta that you can download for free and use right now. Well, surprise of all surprises, if you do it, it will make Norton antivirus not work.
Yeah.
You know? So this is just actually sort of a PSA for people. You know, don't use this.
What? How did you get that star to show go over your head and say the more you know?
Dun, dun, dun.
All right.
So, buy a Mac.
PSA for people, you know, don't use this if you have Norton antivirus.
And buy a Mac.
And buy a Mac.
Buy a Mac.
Aaron, you're gonna cause the doom of your own Mac civilization, I'm telling you.
Buy a Mac.
All right. Gamers are as good at bilinguals. I'm going to restart.
Jeez.
All right.
I got an idea. Why don't you restart?
Bilinguos.
Biling.
Matt is
rebooting his biling.
Matt is rebooting his brain right now.
Yes, it was. Matt is the devil. Okay.
I didn't know he runs on Norton.
Gamers are as good as bilinguals at solving mental problems. Video gamers
problems.
Exactly, like mine. Video gamers may have the same mental agility as bilingual people, an ability to swap out one task and bring another online quickly, which is useful in multitasking and is linked to lifelong mental acuity. A study at Toronto's York University showed that gamers performed like bilinguals in hard mental tests, and that bilingual gamers were even better.
Okay, wait a minute. This is another one of those freaking research teams that need to be researched because they're so idiotic. They took two random things to compare. Okay. Let's compare gamers with doctors? No, it was done last year.
No,
truck drivers?
There is a basis for this one.
How about bilinguals?
Oh. No.
Let me actually just say that I think they did this a different way. I don't think they said, let's compare gamers to bilinguals. I think what they said is, let's check and see how well gamers multitask at doing things. Let's check and see how well they – like here's an example of what they actually had them do. They would take something, a word, the word blue, and they would have it written in green letters. And they would say, okay, now what color is this word?
Okay.
And a lot of people would have a hard time quickly saying that it's green.
Okay.
Because they would read blue and they'd want to say blue.
Right.
Okay. Well, so they would test and see, and they found out that gamers were better at this task. Well, they also know from previous research that multilingual people who speak two languages are better at this task as well.
Yeah. So these are the only two groups. Like doctors aren't better at this.
No.
Or
people who are
knitters.
Bilingual are held up as an example for mental acuity. The more languages you learn, the younger you are, the faster a thinker you tend to be later in life.
True. And
also,
I didn't know that bilinguals were the standard of which we measure mental acuity.
No, but multiple languages is a sign.
You got something against bilinguals? What's up with you? Look how
they're
bitter
taking
he
all
is.
Of our jobs.
Look how bitter he is.
Nice, Aaron.
It says in the Bible that thou shalt not be bilingual.
The theory is that gamers are good at filtering irrelevancies out of their decision-making process, a capacity for seesawing activity through different parts of their brains, something seen in bilinguals as well. The people who were video game players were better and faster performers. Those who were bilingual and video game addicts scored best, particularly at the most difficult tasks.
Yeah.
The York study, which tested subjects' response to various misleading visual cues, is to be published next month in the Canadian Journal of Experimental Psychology.
What about chess players?
Well,
why don't we compare them to chess players?
Because chess players are focused.
Aaron,
they tend not to multitask.
You don't understand.
This is stupid. Other scientists are looking at it going, they got money. They have a grant for this.
Aaron, you completely misunderstand how this whole study
came
about.
I'm mocking you on this one, Aaron.
Yeah, Aaron, they didn't.
Just go
to the website and support Aaron Hendricks on www.geekson.com /forums/ Aaron is better than other geeks /
Go to the website.
Even your dog is looking disappointed.
Read the study, okay, that we're going to have a link to, and then go to our forums and tell Aaron what an asshole he is, Okay.
All right, Peter swore.
On our birthday, it's all gone to pot. It's all broken down. It's done.
Tell Aaron what a poopy face he is.
All right.
A doo-doo head.
We'll see. Come on, we have to keep this.
All right. Are we done with news, for God's sake?
We are done with news.
We're going to do the rest of the show in Spanish.
All right. Let's save. And when we come back, we're going to get to our topic of the week. So, our topic this week.
Our topic.
Is the topic that I prepared for like a couple shows ago. we decided to now delve into the world of multiple universes.
Alternate realities.
Alternate realities. Movies, books, games, video games. What's intriguing about them? We are going to explore. The strange world.
Yes, Don.
See, I'm actually
dimensions.
Just picturing the three of you with goatees right now and me clean shaven. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
I know when somebody asks if we had goatees on the jocks on, I'm like, well, one of us already is the evil universe.
Yeah. Matt can't actually grow facial hair, so I
well,
there's
can
no
grow
possible
that
way.
Wispy gangbanger mustache.
I can grow a Fu Manchu, and that's it. I could grow a big ass, like, right out of the corners
but
of my
it's
mouth.
It's like four hairs.
I'll chip in $5.
Yeah, but it's
going to
take like
10
years.
It would take 10 years.
Yeah, but that could be fun.
It would take 10 years, and my girlfriend would slap me so hard my mom would feel it.
Okay, so now we know Matt's facial hair. What is...
And his earwax issues.
Exactly. So last week. What is alternate realities and parallel universes and fractured universes, and how why is it such a big deal in science fiction comics, movies,
see,
and such?
I had a question whether or not all of science fiction was whether or not they're all of science fiction is alternate reality.
I don't think so.
No.
I think that specifically alternate reality needs to deal with the concept of multiple realities in some way.
I agree.
Okay. Within its context, okay?
Well, no, I don't agree with that, actually. I don't agree with that.
Well, for example, I think that, you know, fantasy is not alternate reality.
But okay. Science fiction, if it deals with the far future, then deals with the possibility of our reality that they're referencing.
I don't think that...
And the possibility of a time period which might or might not exist.
Yes, but I think so does fantasy. So I think that...
Let Peter finish his...
Sorry.
Thing.
Yeah, let me finish my thing, goddammit.
Don't you know you're the one who gets interrupted?
Yeah.
Everybody needs to drink.
No, but... everybody drink. The Geeks on Drinking game. So... I think that for multiple reality to have a context, it has to have multiple realities, okay? And some science fiction does have multiple realities. It has the for example, time travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
It has the context of starting in our world and going into the future.
Okay.
Multiple realities, okay?
But wait a minute. What about these, like, there's all sorts of books, and I don't think there's been any movies where they have
like
alternate
Fatherland,
history,
for example.
Yeah, they have alternate histories.
It's taking place in the 1990s in a modern day Germany where America didn't intervene in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just discovering in modern day Nazi Germany mm-hmm. what they did in the 1940s.
Okay, we see that way you do get an alternate reality because what you're doing is it is a different reality than the one we know.
But they don't refer to ours
when it's
in the books.
Well, okay, for example. If you're talking about, the Nazis won World War II,
mm-hmm.
okay, we have the context of knowing that the Nazis didn't win that creates, in our minds, two different realities.
Mm-hmm.
If we're talking about something that could happen in the future,
mm-hmm.
we're speculating.
I agree.
We're not comparing two different realities in the future.
I agree with that.
We're not even comparing the future to our world. It's only when you create a comparison between the two that you have an alternate reality.
All right, really geek question. Is the fact that in the 1960s, the Klingons had no forehead wrinkles, and in the 1990s, the Klingons did have forehead wrinkles,
and
they tried to join them?
No, because that was explained in Enterprise.
Okay.
They created a bridge.
And was it? They did. They tried.
They said ones are half humans or something like that.
No.
There's a whole genetic modification.
To summarize real quick for all of you Star Trek fans out there, the final second to last episode of Enterprise, they finally just kind of crammed in an episode real quick, where basically what happened was Earth did these genetic experiments where they invented superhumans,
mm-hmm.
right?
Khan.
Where they did genetic experimentation and made these super people. The Super People had a revolt and attacked the Klingon Empire. Mm-hmm. They actually took out several ships and created a big hullabaloo. Then what they established was that the Klingons took some of the genetic material of these human super beings and retrofitted the genetic changes into a virus that they tried to use on themselves to create their own Klingon super soldiers. Problem was they lost control of the super virus. It cut through them and basically turned all of them into human hybrids.
Oh. Weird.
Interesting. Lame. Okay. But let's bring up Star Trek. This Star Trek loves the alternate realities. In fact, the most famous Star Trek episodes took place in an alternate reality, the Mirror Universe.
Absolutely. Well,
maybe we should break, as we're coming into this, there are several genres of multiple realities. Before we go into one specific
topic. Sure, spit them out.
The genres.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to kind of break it into three that mm-hmm. I saw. One is the hidden world within our world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And this one might be a little questionable, but basically the Matrix.
There's a Twilight Zone that I love that is the hidden world within our world.
But the Matrix is a good example, alternate reality in the computer.
Yep.
Right. So it's either mm-hmm. alternate reality for this type of alternate reality, the concept is that there is another reality running parallel to our own within the world we know.
Or the holodeck episodes where the people actually became alive and they started thinking and then they even found out they were in a holodeck.
Did you see the Twilight Zone episode where the people find the people in between the seconds who are
building time.
They're building time.
The blue men, yeah.
And so every time you lose something, it's because whoever the set dresser was for that second forgot
to put your watch there.
Genius.
So, sounds a little Langoliers to me.
The Matrix is one example of finding out that there's another world. There's two realities, the one that we know and then the one that's really going on.
Right, but that's not really – you're right. That's a little shady because it's not really parallel universes.
It's not parallel universes.
Right.
But now you've also got They Live. Okay. Now, these are all kind of on the edge.
They Live is more – that's an alien story.
Yeah, well, that's just costumes.
Let's not get held up on semantics.
Okay.
Dark City – Truman Show, and maybe Galaxy Quest. Maybe. These are all kind of like in an ambiguous place for me.
Yeah.
Not entirely positive that they're alternate realities, and yet they do kind of have two different worlds.
Dark City, I agree with.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, second type is time travel.
Right. Okay,
time travel is real obvious, but 12 Monkeys, Back to the Future, Frequency, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, Star Trek IV.
One of Aaron's favorite movies is Frequency.
I hate that stupid movie.
I actually love it.
Now, yeah, exactly. And, you know, Back to the Future is a good example of, you know, it's not really your classic time. You know, a lot of people want to say time travel is hopping within our same universe. But they kind of have this, like, you know, look at the picture, it's fading away type of device. And really, it feels like he's jumped into another universe.
It's the branching timeline syndrome.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, he hopped another timeline and now is living there. And even when he makes those changes, he's still affecting a new timeline. And some other universe, he's still a big nerdy geek, you know. Or his dad is.
I really liked how Frequency dealt with it. I thought it was very intelligent. Whenever he makes a change in the past, he winds up having two sets of memories, you know?
Right.
He can remember what originally happened, and then he can remember a completely divergent path of what's now happened.
Butterfly Effect had this whole...
Effect, I thought, was a surprisingly good...
I liked it, too.
I really liked that movie.
Everybody, like, ragged on it because
I can't
watch
it. I just can't.
Because it's Ashton Kutcher?
I hate him.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought he was fine in it, too.
He was actually pretty good in it.
Yeah, I mean...
I've heard of it, so I have to... Now, there's a third type of alternate reality, which is... when you're pulled into a parallel reality, okay?
Now, wait a minute. Wait. There's one that fits in between both of these, because what is, like, Groundhog Day?
That's what I'm about to – I consider that being pulled into a parallel reality, okay?
I bet that.
Okay.
So Groundhog Day.
I love Groundhog Day.
Pleasantville. It's a Wonderful Life.
It's a Wonderful Life is the one that I didn't think of originally. I went, well, I guess that is – I mean, he visits an alternate reality for a brief moment.
And it fits into two different sides. So there's supernatural that causes that type, but there's also technological being pulled into an alternate reality.
Christmas Carol. That's another alternate reality.
That's true. That's a great one.
He gets to visit his life as if he didn't exist for a moment.
You've also got technological, Tron, Sliders, Stargate.
I need to go watch Tron again now.
Also, Wizard of Oz is a
is I think that's probably more supernatural.
No, you don't think that's a different place, though.
That's a different place. It's Oz exists, is supposedly, you know.
No, it's an alternate reality because all the people she meets there are people from her world.
Let's, in the movie.
Yeah.
In the books.
I didn't read the books.
Well, even in the books.
The books don't exist, come on.
Listen, even in the books, the point is that she's pulled into a different world with different rules. It's a different reality. Magic exists in the world that she goes to. Okay? Mm-hmm.
Right.
And that world is not on Earth.
What about being John Malkovich? Somebody brought that up.
Being John Malkovich is actually interesting because it hits two categories of alternate reality.
It's the world within the world.
World within the world. And it's a parallel reality at the same time because when he goes into the Malkovich part, when John Malkovich goes into himself,
then it's like
Malkovich, that's the second one. That's the parallel reality.
Hmm. Donnie Darko has another one. Now, so what's the appeal? I mean, there's so many of them. So what's the appeal of the – now, we haven't even covered comic books, which we'll get to next.
Right.
But, you know, it pops up all the time. Why is it that we want to keep writing and watching this?
Well, I think there are two different things there. There's one, there's the Superman syndrome, where Superman 1, he changes reality. He spins the world backwards in time and fixes what he did wrong. And I think that's the big fantasy in most of these alternate reality things, is the fixing of something that didn't work.
Although he doesn't really. Which drives me crazy in Superman 1.
I think the appeal to reading and watching these things and to the writers is that they get to temporarily put the characters in a different place where they can go back and they don't ruin any timeline. Like
you can Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court?
Right. You can temporarily put Superman in some weird thing where he's fighting Batman in the universe where Batman wears a goatee. Or Star Trek, or, you know, Kirk can be evil.
Yes.
That's fun. Yeah. Like, how are we going to work this in, Kirk being evil? Well, let's just throw him into a, put a goatee on him, throw him into another universe, and now he's evil.
Okay, you're talking story convention, why it's appealing to writers. I'm thinking in terms of, like,
but we liked
what archetypally is interesting about these things.
I think archetypally it's interesting because it's the area of our dreams. It's the area where anything is feasible, anything is possible.
But that's true of any high fantasy and any science fiction.
Yeah.
But it's also the shoulda, woulda, coulda.
I think that...
Well, that's what I'm saying. The shoulda, woulda, coulda is the fixing things that you did wrong. The being the Superman with what you know in different circumstances.
Interesting.
The, you know, power with little investment in a lot of ways.
We like to see stories that are not everyday humdrum stories. No, you know, driving down the freeway during the day is boring. Driving down the freeway past a 5-car accident with dead bodies on the side of the road and helicopters overhead is interesting. That's why people slow down and look. We like things that are unusual, that are interesting, that are different from our normal humdrum world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by definition, parallel reality, Back to the Future, these type of things, they put us in worlds that are extremely different from our world and let us experience things that are very different and unusual from what we would normally experience.
You have to draw you out of that world. Specifically, they pull you into a different world.
I'll agree with that with one amendment to it. Unlike the high fantasy worlds or the science fiction worlds, the alternate reality world still leaves you with one foot in the world you know. That's the crucial difference that we're kind of dancing around here. If you're just talking about seeing something new and exciting, Lord of the Rings does that. You know, Star Wars does that.
Yeah, but...
But that doesn't set them apart from alternate realities in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, but I think people who like alternate realities like fantasy as well. I don't think that there's like a genre out there of people that go, you know, I don't like fantasy, I don't like science fiction, but I do like alternate realities.
Well, there's a thing about the alternate reality that's putting normalcy askew. It's like it's also that what we do with horror films is that nothing is as horrific as sort of distorting the human form. What we consider normal, you distort it slightly and suddenly it's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
So you take reality, you distort it slightly and suddenly it either becomes very attractive or very horrific. It's like the Twilight Zone episodes. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
Like, I don't know. I think some of these, like Run Lola Run and Groundhog's Day and It's a Wonderful Life has this kind of like, how many second chances do we get? Like, you know, mm-hmm. they show us where if we had made the other choice. But Stargate's not like that. So it doesn't cover all of them. I think that's just one of the aspects
of it. It's not really an alternate reality thing.
Yes, it is.
No, that's going through a portal to a different place.
That's a sci-fi thing.
I thought they went to other universes.
Well, yeah, but how is that different from going there on a spaceship? They're traveling across not time.
Well, what about like?
Well, but it still has the equivalent effect. I mean, I think that we're drawing. Here's the thing. I think we're drawing
sliders. Yeah, sliders.
Well, sliders is specifically an alternate reality show.
Yeah, sliders is specifically.
They're going across dimensions where they're looking for their own reality, not the reality where the Mall of America has spread everywhere.
Right.
You know.
That's, yeah, but they are.
That is a parody of our universe.
But how is that the should?
But that's the fun part of the show is that we get to see, you know, every episode is like seeing, you know, themselves with beards and themselves in clown suits and themselves in Star Wars armor.
True.
Like
Kari were naked.
Let's pause for a second because again, I think there's a very specific difference. The phrase here is alternate reality, not different dimensions, not, you know, alternate reality include. Basically has the concept that there are two different realities in being compared.
Or more than.
Okay.
It could be more
than
two.
That's why I think that, for example, They Live slides into that nebulous area on the edge of this where it actually almost is an alternate reality because you have the world that you know, and then you have these glasses that show you an entirely different world that's concurrent with the world that you know and the world that you see. So you have two different realities, and the glasses are the thing that keeps you in between the two.
I can see your point, although I think it's just a world in disguise, but yeah. I could see that.
Well, but in Matrix... Like
that, it's tap dancing
on the
edge. But
Buffy the Vampire Slayer is an alternate reality show. You know, there are vampires hiding among us, changing the world. And, you know, the only thing stopping you from seeing
Blade.
Don't think so, because it's a very thin dividing line. Look, Matrix, everyone agreed very clearly, was alternate realities.
Yeah.
Okay? We have two different realities when, in fact, you know...
Because you're going into a different place with the Matrix.
What's the difference between going to a different place using a computer that allows you to see different things and going to a different place using glasses that allow you to see different things?
But
you're not going to a different place. You're doing is like putting on X-ray vision.
Yeah. Keanu Reeves, his perception doesn't just change. His whole reality changes. He realizes he can alter the reality that he's in. With They Live...
Yeah, in Buffy, it's a small vial of holy water. Does the same thing.
Well, but the difference is in Buffy, it's very consistently one world. You don't have something that divides it into two worlds.
Hmm. Okay, let's bring up... Maybe you guys can help me out a little bit with this because I'm not a big comic book reader. But two of the big companies...
Oh, I forgot. There's one other type. I'm so sorry. There's the what if.
Right.
The fourth type is the what if.
Yeah.
And that's when you take... That's the type you talked about where...
Fatherland.
What if the Fatherland? What if... And another example of that is the Spider-Man in India concept, which I have right here.
Used to have a comic book series from Marvel called What If.
What If. Yeah, that's exactly. You know?
So, but, you know, each...
I wanted to read something to you really fast.
Okay.
Just so you guys know what the Spider-Man in India is about, they've changed it. So it's now about... It's not Peter Parker of Queens under the classic Spider-Man mask, but it's a new hero, a young Indian boy named Pavitr Prabhakar. As Spider-Man... Pavitr leaps around rickshaws and scooters in Indian streets while springing from monuments such as the Gateway of India and the Taj Mahal. His enemy, the Green Goblin, is actually reinvented as Rakshasa, an Indian mythological demon.
Yep.
I just thought that was interesting, and here's a picture that I'm
getting. Yeah, he's cool. Great costume design.
It's very interesting. Yeah.
Well, what I was going to bring up is that Marvel and DC both have had very strong, strong multiple universe stories, including an entire ending of both of them, right? They each had a clash of their universes.
The series, back when I was a kid, when I was so young, so long ago, DC used to have multiple worlds called Earth 1, Earth 2, Earth C, you know, where all the different genres of DC comics occurred.
And so by the way, I'm going to put a link of a guy who has a timeline of all those.
Oh, very nice.
Really extensive for both Marvel and DC.
Well, when they did the Crisis on Infinite Earths, they were just basically saying, okay, this is out of control. We've got to fix this. We can no longer control all of our storylines taking place on all these planets. So in that storyline, all of the world started being destroyed by the Nothing. For any of you who've seen the Neverending Story. The Nothing was coming and wiping them all out. And in this storyline, they actually killed off some of the major superheroes from their
their collection.
Well, I thought they took care of everyone, every universe but one, right? Didn't they finally destroy?
No, that final universe, if I recall correctly, became an amalgam.
Oh, okay.
If I remember right, it's been a really long time. Because, I mean, they did things like they killed off the original Flash, mm-hmm. and he was replaced by the Kid Flash. And that character never came back, as far as I know. I stopped reading. Supergirl was killed. Supergirl never came back in quite the same form.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder Woman was killed off at that time
Thank
period.
Thank God.
And fully reinvented. So
yeah, now she can fly.
Yeah, they completely just scrapped the original Wonder Woman idea. And the Wonder Woman of now is a very different character. You know,
but, so sexy.
But I hear that they've kind of now strayed from that because they do have some now what if stories.
Yeah.
And people, instead of just taking them as what if stories, people want to now put them in universes.
Yeah.
So they're saying, well, this is a new universe. And I think DC has said, no, it's just a what if story. They're having a hard time convincing fans. Well, but Marvel did this too.
Well, Marvel and DC are concurrent different universes, so yeah. I always loved it when their universes would collide and they'd do versus battles or whatever.
Yeah,
they would.
That's always fun.
Oh yeah, they did Spider-Man versus Wolverine, which is one.
And they just agreed to have a writer.
Yeah. They ran.
They actually did some fun. They did something where all of their big superheroes would go up and fight each other, and mm-hmm. then the one that won, they'd make a spin-off title for like one comic, right?
But Spider-Man versus Wolverine are both Marvel.
It'd be like Spider-Man versus Batman.
Batman. Oh, okay. Sorry. Yeah.
So like
somebody
yelled
that out.
Storm fought Wonder Woman, mm-hmm. and Storm won. So in their spin-off comic, the amalgam character they made was half Storm, half Wonder Woman, but Storm was sort of the dominant personality, and that drove what the comic was.
Interesting.
And it was cute. It was cute. You know?
Now, but wait. Didn't Marvel had their big collapse of universes too, right? They had the Infinite Universe, what do they call it? Oh God! I think
I know what you're talking about. They have the Secret Wars. They have this. The Infinity Gauntlet stuff.
Infinity.
And they had a big.
But I don't remember that rewriting any history.
Oh, okay, okay.
You know, I don't know what's going on.
We shall have to have our listeners school us in terms of.
Yeah,
this
well, I do
I'm
also
sure
have
our listeners by now have realized we're not by and large comic book readers.
Right.
One of our listeners.
Well, we used
has,
to. It's hard to. It's sort of hard to track everything with it as.
I used to be the fanatical comic book reader of the bunch. I bought them ridiculously. I'm actually a silent partner in a comic book store, but I couldn't keep up with the prices for the most part. When I realized that, like, you know, Newsweek cost less than an issue of Superman, I knew I had to quit.
Right.
You know?
It's well,
you know, crazy.
It's interesting. I think, you know, to look at the fact that comic books have had so much involvement in alternate universes. I mean, really, they've used them.
Well, part of it is two different things. Let me just throw this out here with the Superman, the superhero genre specifically. Mm-hmm. One, most of the comic book luminaries, Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. Batman, Wonder Woman, all these characters have been around since the 1940s.
Exactly.
They have a canon that most writers can't possibly keep up with. A lot of the newer writers, they're bringing in like movie people, right? A lot of these movie people may be fans of the comic books on sort of a, you know, a heady level, but they don't know the storylines. Mm-hmm. So when they come in to start writing these superhero comics, very often they're just like, I don't know any of these X-Men characters. I don't give a crap about any of these X-Men characters. I'm going to make up new ones. You know, screw all the old ones. Screw the old canon. And so that's what you saw really happening during the 1990s, especially, mm-hmm. was all the traditional comic book writers that had been there since the 70s were kind of getting pushed out of the business. New people were coming in who didn't know any of the old storylines.
And they called them new universes in order to keep things straight?
When you were lucky, they called them new universes.
What do you mean, like Bishop?
Very often it was like, I remember there was an X-Men title where like they wrote out all the X-Men and then brought in like new characters like Marrow, Maggot, a guy who could control these two little maggot things that ate everything, and a doctor who could generate a force field, but only that.
Well, that was, you know, like Cable. But like, wasn't that an alternate universe? Cable and Bishop were alternate.
Cable and Bishop came in from alternate universes.
Right.
The Phoenix, the second Phoenix character, came in from an alternate universe.
Well, I think that, you know? I buy that rationale, but I also think that when you have a character that's been around for so long, you know, and you've done pretty much all there is to do with them, that's when you start looking for other ways to make things more interesting. And you
that's the other thing I was going to say. The writers that did stick around had written these stories already for many years. They wanted to strike out a new ground.
But right? It's interesting that
DC started doing this series of comics called Elseworlds
mm-hmm.
that I loved. I thought they were brilliant. It was like a Batman in medieval times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a couple of those.
Yeah. Batman during the colonization of America. Yeah. You know, lots of fun stuff like that.
But it's interesting that a lot of times, instead of just being able to come out with the comic book, they want to call them multiple universes. And there's this kind of idea that maybe they could escape the universe and visit another universe.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking in terms of alternate universes that one of the reasons why we play role-playing games is specifically because they're alternate universes.
Strangely, you bring that up, because I have a game that I'm writing modules for you guys, Infinite Worlds, which is entirely a multiple universe, parallel universe, GURPS book.
It's That's GURPS crazy. Meet Rifts.
Well, no. It's
all
not
of your assimilations will be assimilated.
The reason why GURPS kind of pushes this as their kind of starting adventure in their books is that it leverages the multi-book, you know, ideas that you can, you know, do.
You can go anywhere.
Cowboys, then science fiction.
Well, that's the same thing with Rifts. That's why I like Rifts, is because Rifts exist in multiple universes at all times.
This is really well written. They have some parallel Earths that have already been written out for you. Some of them are really fun and hysterical, and some are very serious. But anyway, and there's a couple other. There was one called Brave New World role playing game that came out in like 1999. I found out about. Mm-hmm. So there's been a couple of those in the past. And then there's a lot of video games. Crimson Skies, remember the airplane game?
Yeah.
That takes place in a weird, bizarre kind of...
Well, I was thinking that video games are actually going to be the next frontier in terms of actual alternate realities. If the technology keeps on going in terms of World of Warcraft and like that, then massively multiplayer online role-playing games, I mean, they've already formed romances. Mm-hmm. They've already formed relationships and strong friendships between people, and they've also already caused death.
So, I don't know. You'd have to really go far in order to cross over to
thing. If virtual reality is where we're headed with these things, and massively multiplayer online role-playing games are where people are spending the money.
It's an interesting thought.
Then alternate realities effectively, because we know that there are people who do not leave their houses because they're busy falling in love and completely different lives
I'm going to throw out there RPG. My first fantasy addiction. As my blooming geekdom was an alternate reality. It was the Narnia series. Mm-hmm. It was my first introduction. Wrinkle in Time was another one.
Love it.
You know, a lot of kids' literature seems to deal with alternate realities, where the wild things are.
Yep.
You know,
would Discworld be fit into that?
Discworld's a different universe.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, though, it's a good point that you bring up in terms of multiplayer online games, because, you know, by definition, what makes something an alternate reality is that it has some form of comparison to our world, okay, or to comparison to another world. And right now in World of Warcraft, they basically have Valentine's Day going on,
yeah,
where you can run around and give people cards and candy, you know. And
but they've done that for every holiday. Christmas, for
They've done that for every holiday. But I bring it up.
Oh, judge geek, sad. Judge.
I bring it up
if I'm not
going
to get any candy in real life, I better get some in the game.
Oh, duh.
Let me listen.
Duh. I hate Valentine's
Day. So, wait. What's your character's name? And everybody can go on and give you...
Yeah, everybody should come and give Borgia candy.
Yeah.
Well, so, White Widow on Tychondrius.
White Widow on Tychondrius.
I need my epic mount, goddammit. Send me gold.
Send a gift to Don.
All right.
Let me list
Poor
quickly.
Poor lonely Don.
Is quickly some other video games. Freedom Fighters, which is an awesome video game about... You played that, didn't you?
We played it.
America that's been taken over by...
I spotted that on like the top 100 games of all time on IGN.
I thought it was an awesome game.
I'd love to check it out sometime.
Half-Life? Check it out. Half-Life is in the future.
Alternate reality? No, it's a... they go from different realities. That's true.
Myst.
Yes.
Myst.
Oh, I love Myst.
Space 1889, if you remember that.
I got to pick up Myst 4 on our listener's recommendation.
Silent Hill.
I'd say 1984 is now a parallel universe.
Well,
yeah.
Old science.
The world of 2000 will have flying cars.
I want my flying car, damn it.
Stargate SG-1 is actually getting a massively multiplayer online game.
Of course,
I don't know why, but, you know, whatever.
And huge fan base.
There's a game called Prey.
People really do love it.
There's a game called Prey coming out for the Xbox 360 very soon that you actually have portals open up and you can go into alternate universes. I don't know if Doom counts.
Yeah. No.
Hell opens up, but I don't really consider that another universe.
Well, it's also a sci-fi future thing. Right. So
one of my favorite ones was actually a book.
Also Star Trek.
Alternate reality.
Mirror universe.
Well, yeah.
Go ahead.
One of my favorite book alternate realities was one that Don hated, was the Sword and the Chain series.
Oh, God.
Where basically a bunch of role players go and become their characters.
Oh, God.
In this world. And, well, and they actually end up taking all their knowledge from the 20th century. And they have to decide which whether or not... Because their characters have their own brains. And they start to take over. Oh. So one's a barbarian and he's sort of dumb. And he has to decide that he wants to be this intellectual from, you know, from a college rather than being his barbarian.
I'm but trying still, to remember there was the a thread on our forums where one of our listeners was basically saying... you know, I've got some time off. I'm looking for some escapist fantasy.
Right.
Stuff where people go into fantasy worlds.
Yes.
Right?
I got a list.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Okay, well, some of the ones that I remember from that off the top of my head were The Neverending Story, because I put that on there.
Okay.
Was the Kingdom for Sale Sold.
Is this parallel universe talk?
Yes. Yes. Done? Oh, definitely.
Okay. Yes. Well, Neverending Story, it's, you know, you're reading a book that starts reaching out to you and asking you to change
the
universe.
That's true. Yeah. That's true.
Kingdom for Sale Sold is definitely.
Is a guy who takes a wrong, buys a kingdom from a real estate ad.
He buys a kingdom from a real estate ad for like 10 bucks or something.
Yeah, like something ridiculous, and then goes to the kingdom and becomes a king.
Hmm.
I'm trying to remember the name of this series.
The
Amber Chronicles by Rogers.
And also the game would fit into that as well.
Yeah, I love that.
The Alvin the Maker series by...
That's an alternate history.
That's an alternate history.
Orson Scott Card, yeah.
Orson Scott Card. His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman. Very inventive writing, by the way. It's like it's completely different from anything you've ever seen.
Tad Williams' Otherland is a really, really great series. It's about a bunch of kids who start disappearing and they don't know why they're not waking up, because they're all going into VR, into virtual reality, and not waking up. And so this one sister goes to look for her little brother, and people keep on catching glimpses at the corner of the eyes of this giant golden city. And then she ends up in there, and a barbarian character ends up in there, and all these people from various points are pulled into the game for some strange reason.
Weird.
Thomas the Covenant series by Stephen R. Donaldson.
Hate that series.
I read that and didn't like it either. I read like a book and couldn't get it.
I'm with you both.
Death and morbidity.
People
seem
to love
it
for
some
reason.
Some people really
hate my life. Death, death.
The Dark Tower by Stephen King.
Okay.
And that's the last on my list of those.
I'm going to throw out one more, the Xanth series.
Xanth, great.
Xanth.
Little introduction for all of those 13-year-old boys.
And Time and Again.
Now, wait.
Jack Finney.
Everybody realizes that Xanth is based on Florida, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure.
It's the map that looks like Florida in the beginning of it. But
there's one board game. Talisman has a big add-on about going to parallel universes.
Yeah.
And that was the only board game that
I could
think of.
Okay. Now, you reminded me of this series. It was a 3-book, maybe 5-book series I read when I was a kid. The basic premise was a trucker picks up a hitchhiker, right? And they take a wrong turn and end up in an alternate world, right?
Hmm.
And it's a fantasy world, like a sword and sorcery fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
He gets turned into a barbarian, and she gets turned into this fairy who has the ability to absorb people's negative energy by sleeping with them, right?
I like it already.
It's great.
It was written by a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah, it gives her these massive powers and all this stuff, but she's got to actually suck the negative out of people, so to speak.
She's the worst way to die.
I'm trying to remember the name of the series. I want to say, like, Gods of the River World is one of the titles.
I don't know.
It was a big series way back when.
River World would kind of fall into this.
Was it good?
To my 13- or 14-year-old mind, yes.
I read a series, and I can't remember the name of it, but I loved it. And it was, I believe
I think
it was
we've
called,
to the end of this.
And it's something along the it was like The Adventures of Conrad Stargazer, or, I mean, that was the character's,
God,
Conrad something.
Familiar.
But anyway, the Cross-Time Engineer, that's what it was called.
Yes, Conrad Stargazer.
And his character, the character's name was Conrad Stargazer.
Ah.
He goes back and prevents the war from happening.
Actually, what happens is he's backpacking across Europe. He gets drunk in an inn, and he stumbles around and is looking for the bathroom. And downstairs, there's a hidden time machine where basically the concept is that there are people who can travel through time, and they've got little time machines hidden in different places. And they've left a door open while they're moving something in, and he walks in drunk and walks through and winds up back in Poland, but 20 years before the Mongols are going to arrive.
Mm-hmm.
And he wakes up.
And realizes that the Mongols are going to come. And because he's an engineer, he starts rapidly trying to invent things that they can use to fight off the Mongol horde.
And somebody else is telling me about how great this book was.
I've talked about it before on Geeks On. And it was actually a ton of fun. My mom and I were fighting for the books. You know, we were fighting back and forth.
So it's series.
It's a series.
Cool. Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court. Same premise.
Yeah.
Same premise.
What's the series with aces and jokers? It's edited by George R. R. Martin.
Wild Cards.
Wild Cards. Great alternate reality.
That's a great... That's the only superhero universe that alternate I've ever reality. Seen that's not in comics that's viable.
Starts in 1940 in a... Plague comes down and turns and kills plague. Off 90% of the people who get hit by the plague. The remaining get turned into jokers, yeah. Nasty, deformed, or aces. You get superpowers.
Another one, speaking of RPGs, the Aberrant role-playing game is similar to that, and it's a superhero alternate reality because it's very, very much like our world politics, our world media, that kind of stuff, just with the element of superheroes being added in.
By the way, deuces in that were people who had powers, but they were completely useless. They were people who could, for example, light a cigar with their finger, and that was it.
Like Xanth.
Right.
Xanth had you either had magician class or spot on the wall class.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. All right, we should close this up, and because we have a bit we want to get in.
But do we have a bit?
Before we close the showdown this week.
All right, now, I was sitting around at work with some friends, and everyone is basically saying they weren't very happy with this year's crop of movies, right? Mm-hmm. And so it occurred to me, I started asking them a question. Now, if you had a choice between these three movies, which one would you most want to see? Memoirs of a Geisha, Brokeback Mountain, or Brokeback Geisha? And all of them said Brokeback Geisha.
Okay.
Okay.
So it started occurring to me, like, what other sort of interesting movie combinations could you come up with by combining the titles? And what does that sort of spark off in your mind of what that movie would be?
Excellent.
So our bit this week is just hybrid movie titles.
Okay.
Okay. So no explanation.
I did only geek movies.
Oh, I
so only sci-fi.
I went anywhere. Too.
So mine's okay. I'll start then.
Let's just hit one and one and one and
okay.
one and go around.
Okay. I really wanted to love Minority Report, and it started out great, such great science fiction, but it petered out so bad. I mean, it just turned into a bad cop show at the end. They never had a really thought-provoking ending, especially with the time travel. So this isn't funny, but so I combined it with another movie. My new movie is called Minority Monkeys. And that is taking the ending of The 12 Monkeys, the time travel loops and all that kind of really well-written story and jamming it on the end of Minority Report. So it's Minority Monkeys.
Peter? Okay, I have Breakfast Fight Club.
Nice. I like that.
Breakfast Fight Club.
You know, it's a bunch of guys in detention who beat the shit out of each other.
I could do that.
The Excellent. Goth and the cheerleader.
I combined a martial arts genre with a nice fantasy sort of sci-fi thing and got Enter the Dragon Slayer.
Very Enter nice. Enter the Dragon Slayer.
Very nice.
I'm just feeling that, yep.
I can pair up one with that. Nice 80s cheesy martial arts flick combined with high fantasy. Mm-hmm. Double Dragon Slayer.
Ah, excellent. Aaron?
Well, I'm so disappointed with the episode 1, 2, 3 of the Star Wars films, and I always get their titles confused because I don't even remember them. So I'm just lumping them all together with this title, Children of the Jedi. And that's taken from Children of the Damned, this kind of lifeless droning of children who just wander slowly toward you with zero facial expression. And it seemed to describe the first episodes 1 through 3.
That's
so
very nice.
Children of the Jedi.
Peter?
Okay. Do you guys remember It Happened One Night, the Frank Capra movie?
Yeah. Yes.
And that was basically about this rich heiress who wants to get married, and her dad won't let her, so she runs away, and she's trying to make it to New York to get to her fiancé. Mm-hmm. Along the way, she runs into this reporter who tells her he'll help her get there if he can write the story of what happens. And they fall in love along the way. Just want to make sure everyone knew what that was. Okay. I have It Happened One Night of the Living Dead.
I like that.
It's the same story, except zombies come out and start trying to kill them.
Very cool. I could
Sounds
that.
Better already.
I have one about three gay vampires who run off into the Australian outback and get together and have a nice party. Priscilla, Queen of the Damned.
Very nice. Very nice.
That's a good one.
Okay, I liked King Kong. I respected King Kong. I think it could have used some spicing up, though. So, and it was a really long movie, so I wanted to suggest they break it up into a trilogy. King Kong Fu Hustle, Kingdom Kong of Heaven, and The Lord of the Rings, The Return of King Kong.
Okay. That's good. Well, this is my last one, and this is a small little movie starring me. And actually, hopefully no one else watches. Starring me and the female cast of Battlestar Galactica. It's called Close Encounters of Galactica. Or the other one was Close Encounters of Barbarella. It's kind of a little small home video.
I'm just happy place here. I see that.
I actually think this one might be a really kind of fun movie. It's Howard's End of Days. Okay. Mm. You guys remember End of Days with Schwarzenegger?
Yeah.
So it's a stoic, repressed British butler, Anthony Hopkins, must stop Satan from ending the world.
I like that.
I had one that's kind of like that. It's actually Anthony Hopkins as well, but it's Anthony Hopkins in a zombie thriller. It's he's a sort of stoic British butler. It's called Remains of the Day of the Dead.
That's a good one.
All right. A new vehicle for Tom Cruise and Tilda Swinton, The Lion, the Witch, and the War of the Worlds.
Excellent. Pete?
I got Must Love Reservoir Dogs. a single woman's sister puts her profile on a dating surface, and she finds herself on a date with mobsters.
That's good. I have one where basically we find out that prisoners have been eating each other on the death row line. It's called the Soylent Green Mile.
That's good.
Okay.
A cannibalism thriller with dancing. The Silence of the Lambada, The Forbidden Dance.
Excellent.
Excellent.
I got, I'm not even sure what this movie is. I just thought it was a funny title. Oh, Godzilla, You Devil.
That's a good one. Here's a basic sort of bank robber, you know, crime mystery thing that actually occupies through time. It's Ocean's 12 Monkeys.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I like that. I just like the sound of this one, Kung Fu Hustle and Flow.
Excellent. That would be really, really good. Sort of a black exploitation
Kung Fu
rap. Yeah, excellent. Pete?
I got two that kind of are the same joke, but different movies. Bringing Up Rosemary's Baby.
That's okay. Good.
The other one is Three Men and Rosemary's Baby.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, that's a lighthearted comedy with
with
word
a satanic twist. Child, yes.
Yeah. And my final one is basically an alien thriller combined with sort of heist drama with maybe a little porn thrown in, and it's called Invasion of the Body Snatch.
How many more you got, Pete?
I got one more.
You go for your last one, and then I'll rattle up my other mine off.
Okay, I got Freaky Friday Night Lights. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Football player and his 15-year-old daughter accidentally changed places.
Okay, I'll just rattle through these. One I cheated a bit on. It's Gilligan's Island as an anime, Mr. Howell's Moving Castle.
Excellent.
Sky Captain and the World of the Day After Tomorrow. Charlie's Angels in the Chocolate Factory. Kill Bill and Ted. Black American Beauty. Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home Alone.
Baps.
And last but not least, The Hitchhiker's Guide to Galaxy Quest.
Excellent. That could be really great.
Cool. I have one link before we go.
Me too.
There's a website this guy has where he's collected all sorts of other links about making and marketing your own game, your old board game or card game. He's got all sorts of manufacturers, printing people, license agreements. Anyway, we'll put a link to it in case any of you have any great ideas. You can start releasing your board game right now.
Beautiful. And I have one that has a bunch of great pictures for ill-advised children's toys. Among them,
like Bag of Glass?
They have pretty bad. They have like the Torture Gochi. You know, you can torture your own Arab on your little gochi if you want.
Yeah.
They have baby's first tanning bed.
Yeah, that's not good.
You
want to
try that. The razor slide, one of those giant pink slides with a big razor blade at the bottom of it, and much, much more.
Interesting.
So if you want to check out the pictures, they are hilarious.
So there you have it. You guys.
Yeah, one thing, but it is our birthday, and one of the things I wanted to ask our viewers is if our listeners or viewers, if you're peeping through our windows right now.
Hey!
Come on in!
Is
tell us! Get away from the bars!
Yeah. Is to maybe spread the word. And I'm not talking about spamming people or intimidating or antagonizing people on forums. But if you legitimately know of other places on the internet or friends who would like to hear this type of stuff, just go and tell somebody. We don't advertise and we don't...
And as podcasting has sort of glutted the market, there's so much kind of... I mean, not to, to toot our own horn, but there's a lot of really crappy product out there, and it's hard for people to find us through all the slush.
What's the site that we'd like to get people to click on, if we can? Remember you talked about it before?
Well, a year ago, there was, like, Podcast Alley, you can vote and stuff, but people aren't really doing that anymore. It's just... You just have to spread the word. It's best to spread
the
word.
It was like MySpace or something like that?
No, there's a MySpace, but yeah, and those are great. People have really helped us out with MySpace. We've got collected
really?
People.
Just amazing stuff.
But just bringing it up and talking to people on other sites, that like board game sites and science fiction sites. And, I mean, these are the type of people that we want listening and we want to hear from as well. So.
I'm also trying to plot out some of our episodes over the next year. So if you have suggestions for episodes, now is the time to put them up on our forum. I'm going to be booking our material.
Or emailing us as well.
Yeah. Email any of us, Peter, Matt, Don, or Aaron at geekson.com.
Or just geeks@geekson.com. Go to our forums, www.geekson.com, and there's a great forum section there. You can get something started there and tell us how we're doing. This is our first
forum
year.
Forum community rocks, by the way. We have some really just... friendly, kind, open people up there that are accepting of all forms of geekdom.
And who are damn intelligent.
Yes. Please stop on in and say hello. Yes.
Exactly. So, anyway, happy birthday to everybody here in this room for the first year of Geeks On. It's been pretty crazy.
Woo!
Thank you very much for listening, guys. We love it.
Exactly. Come back next week for a very special episode of Geeks On.
Actually, that's going to happen probably before this.
That's the alternate reality.
We'll just edit that out.
Okay, so goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Have a good geek week.
Good geek week.
Rock it out.